Good morning. It's Friday, October the 7th, 8:32 a.m. Trying to remember how to do this. I have to hurry and get back because I've got an online meeting at the top of the hour. I'd like to be back before the alarm goes off, but that's unlikely. Maybe it won't interrupt the recording. Oh, hi. It's been a while. And the last photo I posted, the last digital I posted, was the 22nd. So, eleven days, something like that. Got a cramp in my calf. So yeah, I did not get the short story ready for SimSec. I could not. I threw probably 10,000 words against page and could not find the story that envisions security, maritime security in the 24th century. There's a lot of maritime security in my stories, or what we would call maritime security here, and a lot of really interesting parallels, interesting takes. For example, the reason that captains of ships have such broad-reaching powers is that they often had to make decisions that could not be cleared with higher ups, couldn't be relegated to governments, couldn't be given to anybody else, because they had to be done immediately. And it was going to be often months before they got someplace where they could communicate. And so captains have extraordinary powers. And the parallel to the Age of Sail and the Solar Clipper is that maritime security, in the Age of Sail, there were narrows, there were bays, there were choke points, there were places where ships could be intercepted. Pirates could attack them. Even now, there are places where pirates can attack you. But with near instantaneous global communication, that becomes a lot less problematic. We know where the choke points are, we know where pirates operate. We can dispatch resources to protect them, protect maritime commerce. which is really what the purpose of the Navy really is to protect the sea, protect the commerce, the trade. But when you're dealing with volumes like the Western Annex, good morning. When you're dealing with volumes like the Western Annex, you're talking about trying to find a single molecule of salt dissolved in a swimming pool. And so interdiction becomes very, very problematic, becomes very troubling. The interesting thing about the High Line, about CPJCT space, is that there's a single point of failure in the orbital. The orbital is not unprotected. But we haven't seen any, because there hasn't been any kind of need to. They are the single point of failure in terms of getting things to and from the planet below. And pretty much every orbital, there are exceptions like Marguerite. But pretty much every orbital exists because there's a planet under it. The planets provide resources that are not readily available in space. It has to be worth lifting it out of the gravity well, which means it has to come out of a gravity well somewhere. And the stations themselves out of the toeholds are likewise protected. Although, generally so heavily protected that nobody bothers them. There was a reason that UMS 17 got taken the way it did, because a direct assault is not really going to work. the equipment. Looks like they're trying to get this building buttoned up before the weather gets any worse. Although, right now the biggest problem is the smoke. It's smoky enough that my eyes are stinging. Get ready, stay with me. Monk post. Now, I say it's because of the smoke, but sun's up high enough now. Yeah, I can see there's no cloud action going on here. So the cloudiness that I picked up in the morning photo, that's smoke. I don't smell it anymore because I've been buried in it. But I couldn't come up with a story. I couldn't come up with, you know, a lot of ideas, and none of them played. None of them had any guts to them. So yeah, I had to put it down. And as soon as I put it down, I had a couple of ideas. And what I've done is that I've put it on my calendar for next year. And with any luck at all, I'll have, probably take me all year, but I'll have a short story for the contest. It's an annual contest. So assuming Center for International Maritime Security still exists and they still run their contest, I'll be ready for them next year. Oh. Come on. This cramp in my calf will not let go. It woke me up in the middle of the night. I thought maybe if I walked this morning, I could walk it off. Not having much luck there. I don't remember if there's an alarm set. If there is, I'll have an alarm in 4 minutes. We'll have to merge the files together. Because I won't be home in 4 minutes. More like 7. And after 10 days of not walking, I'm not rushing. I'm not pushing very hard. I'm working up a sweat. It's really quite lovely. It is fall. It is October. I don't know what the high is supposed to be today. But I don't believe it's going to be in the 90s. Might get up into the 80s. But I love October. I like October. Generally like November. We should be getting some snow here in October. We typically get our biggest snow of the year in October. I'm hoping it holds off until the end of October because we still have a lot of really green trees. I mean, there's some have changed. There's some are looking a little yellowy. If we were to get a heavy snow right now, there'd be a lot of tree damage. Oh. So if you saw the blog, I did manage to get the blog post set. I just finished reading Glenn Stewart's Peace Initiative. I have been looking and looking and looking to find new voices telling stories that I can read. And I'm not finding a lot of new authors that can get me through the sample. There have been several that have been sort of, maybe. But most of them lose me within the first 4 or 5 pages. And they lose me the same way. They spend the first 4 or 5 pages telling me what's going on in the world. They're giving me the backstory. Well, that at present tense. Present tense stories just pop me right out almost instantly. It's like, this is an interesting idea, but not at present tense, so off you go. And I realize that a lot of people like present tense, and that's really nothing against the writer. I can't read present tense. I have a very hard time reading present tense because my brain is always doing the gymnastics, trying to make present tense into past. Oh, good. The alarm came up, but it didn't interrupt. Good. Always trying to make present tense into past, and I'm so busy. My brain is so busy reconciling a story that's been around long enough for me to read it against words that are telling me that it's happening now, that there's an experiment about color and words and putting text in a color that's different from the word. So the word green might be in red, or the word blue might be in yellow, or the word violet might be in green. And the cognitive loading of tell me what color this is becomes almost insurmountable for me. It's like, can I read the word without seeing a color? No, but I'm looking for the color. And so I see the color green, but it's in blue font. So half the time my brain says blue because, yeah. The same thing happens when I'm trying to read present tense. Unless the story is really compelling, unless the story is really moving, unless the story is like Snow Crash, where I read the whole book without realizing once that it was in present tense. And K.W. Jeter's Kim O series, where when Kim O has a psychotic break, she shifts into present tense. So everything is present tense when she's in a psychotic mode. The rest of the story is all, past tense, third person. It's all perfect, perfectly fine. And then she goes psychotic and it becomes present tense. And present tense? Backstory? At any rate, I have to get inside. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.